Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Jumping Monkeys would like to thank CashFly for the bandwidth for this podcast. CACHEFLY.com. CashFly.
This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 35 for February 23rd, 2008. Oppositional Defiance Disorder. Jumping Monkeys is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook and a whole lot more, visit audiblepodcast.com/monkeys.
So how are you? Did you have a good Valentine's Day? I mean, we should say we're recording this a little early, so yeah. So we are still in the throes of romantic love.
Yes, and, not we, the two of us.
No, actually, I can't stand her.
I'm actually just overloading in
what
candy. I have a candy hangover.
What did Marco do for your Valentine's?
He got me flowers.
That's perfect.
And also a Sonicare toothbrush.
Perfect. That's actually a very nice gift.
I know. It is nice.
It's a little utilitarian, and you might assume that in some way he's impugning your oral health.
Well, we had an old one, and one of them broke. You know, this is the fancy toothbrush that buzzes and is supposed to be really good for you.
It's what I use. I love them.
So we were sharing it for a while, and then thought that was gross, like when we got colds
and
stuff.
You can put a different head on it.
Yeah, but...
Did you have different toothbrushes for different people?
No, we just use the same one. It's too much of a pain to take it off and everything. So I just got like a cheapo, like...
Your own, battery-powered
right, one. Yeah, and my dentist said that one wasn't good enough. No, yeah. So Marco knew that I wanted this. And
that's perfect.
Yeah, isn't that
Was it
sweet?
At least pink?
No.
Was it product red?
No.
How much... You know, I was looking at product red. They don't make a lot of money for the...
No, it's only usually like $10 more.
Or less. I mean, it's not even that. Like, the clothing makes the most money. If you want to support AIDS research by buying a product red, this is the Bono Project. Mm-hmm. I think your ride's here.
Yeah.
She'll be right out. Somebody honking the horn.
Don't they know we're doing a program in here?
Can't they tell? I've got the on the air. Oh, I forgot to turn it on.
Oh, that must be.
I need like a bat signal.
So today we are going to talk to Doctors Philip and Nancy Hall. They're authors of a new book called Parenting a Defiant Child, a Sanity-Saving Guide to Finally Stopping Bad Behavior.
I gots me one.
You do?
Yeah, but she's a... Teenager. They're teenagers.
Right. I think that's normal. But we can ask Philip and Nancy.
We should.
We can ask the doctors.
All right.
But Philip is a psychiatrist, and Nancy has over 30...
He's a psychologist.
Psychologist.
Psychiatrist is a medical
doctor. Sorry. I knew I was going to get that
and
wrong.
And he's a psychologist, which is a PhD.
Right.
He is at the University of South Dakota, or was there. He was director of social psychology program and psychological services for the Developmental Disabilities Clinic at the School of Medicine. So he really has spent a lot of time working with troubled children.
And Nancy has...
His principal.
Yes, she's had over 30 years experience as a school administrator.
Yeah.
Most recently as an elementary school principal.
I have a lot of respect for elementary school principals. That is tough.
So I'm looking forward to talking to them.
Me too.
You know, especially around ideas of like, you know, computer use and dealing with that and that.
Oh, Henry gets home. He wants to use MySpace immediately. And we have to fight with him every time to keep him off of it, at least long enough to do his homework.
Yeah.
And then it's right back on MySpace.
Yeah. You know, I got an email recently in my mother's club, someone looking for a Facebook equivalent for a 7-year-old. And I thought, a 7-year-old, well, you know, like there's Club Penguins and other, you know, sites like that but I just thought, well, why does your 7-year-old need Facebook?
Because he sees somebody in the house, whether it's teenage siblings or parents, on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't know. But that was sort of shocking. Seven.
It is. It's interesting.
That's only a few years older than my daughter.
Jimbo needs a social network.
Jimbo?
Jimboree.
Oh, Jimboree. Yeah. I'm sure someone's working on that.
I'm sure there are going to be lots of children's social networks.
Yeah.
But you're right. What was this? What would a 7-year old? Well, you know, you've got pen pals.
But you know, the other part of her email said, I didn't want to give him a Facebook account because I didn't want to lie about his age. That was her reasoning.
Yeah. Facebook's
but,
like, the wrong place.
But
for that.
Is that the only reason she didn't want to lie about his age? Like, what about the whole other? You know, it's not an appropriate place for 7-year olds.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
Really?
Facebook's pretty benign. Have you? Do you have a Facebook?
No, I don't. I should not talk about things I don't understand.
It's not like MySpace.
Yeah.
MySpace is not as far from benign, but Facebook's fairly benign. I mean, I guess some people put kind of sexy pictures. You're not allowed to put, you know, nude mm-hmm. pictures or anything like that. I mean, it's not like MySpace where there would be teenagers who are just like outright flirting. But there are, you know, I'll show you some pictures. Here.
I guess.
I have some pictures here in my site. Oh, wait a minute.
No. I also just wonder what a 7-year-old would be doing on Facebook.
Well, if
making
play
others, dates?
Yeah,
or?
If it's other 7-year-olds, I think that that's actually, I think it's cool because they might, they're going to start typing. Mm-hmm. They're going to start communicating using an email-like system. They're going to be writing to each other. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Okay.
At all. I don't think, I mean, would you, let me put it this way. Would you have a pen pal for a 7-year-old? Maybe 7's a little young. That's first grade.
I don't know.
But maybe 2nd or 3rd grade. Yeah. Certainly by 4th grade, you have pen pals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, 4th grader can't use Facebook. And if you'd have a pen pal, that's kind of the same thing.
Yeah,
it's
that's
like
true.
More instantaneous pen paling.
That's true. You've convinced me. Well, we should have people call in and let us know.
Yeah.
Our number is 707-981-4602. So... let us know what you think. Is 7 too young for Facebook? Or, you know,
that
what
would be
equivalent?
Good poll for
do you,
yourself.
Yeah, that would be.
We'll have poll results from the last poll later in the show.
Yes,
as well.
We will. So
we should get to our spend, save, give.
We should.
The Halls will be here in any minute to scold us.
So first, I'm going to tell you a way to spend your money. And this is something really cute. Little Directors Animated Drawings. This is a site, littledirector.com, where you can send in your child's art. And this place will animate it for you.
Oh,
it's kind of pricey,
neat.
$50 for a minute and a half. But they're pretty funny and they're cute. And I'm sure that kids would be entertained by this, by seeing their art come alive.
I think that's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah, so it's littledirector.com.
It's going to be pricey just because that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
that's
yeah. I mean,
hours.
I guess you could do it on your own, but that would be hard if you didn't have the skill.
Yeah, if you're not a Flash animator.
If, say, you're not a Flash animator. So it's really cool, littledirector.com, and you can watch little videos on there as well.
Okay, I want to say something, though.
Mm-hmm.
This and the stuffed animal made out of your child's monster, which also pricey.
Right.
This is kind of appealing to a certain kind of parent.
Mm-hmm.
A parent where it's not enough to take the picture, put it on the fridge.
Right.
It seems a little... Can I use the Y word, yuppie? Oh, look, here's my son's cartoon series.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had a book that I liked when I was the parent of a small child. Abby had it where... you've seen those. The U in the... Where you'd put a picture of the kid.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it would be in the book.
Right.
Riding a horse or a ballerina. That was cute.
Yeah. Annabella got one. My sister gave Annabella one of those from Shutterfly. You could do that pretty easily.
Yeah.
It's like an alphabet book.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
This is a little like, oh, you're such a good artist. I'm going to make a movie. See, this is, to me, that praise thing we were talking
about.
Uh-huh,
that's too much.
It's like, oh, yeah, my child's a brilliant artist.
Right.
And that gives the kid this false thing. Then he gets into school, and people don't feel like this kid, everything he does is magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, definitely don't feel that way.
And then they get into the workplace, and then they need
it's
to...
like, why don't you think everything I do is magic?
Yeah. So...
my parents did. What's wrong with you? So, anyway, it's
so
cool.
So, if you're the kind of parent who wants to overpraise your child, check out littledirector.com.
I mean, it looks
pretty. You should have your opinion, Leo.
$30 per page.
$30 per page? What's that, a book?
Animate your book. Any book, any storyline, any size. But if you think about the amount of work involved.
Yeah.
I wonder who is doing this. I'm thinking probably somebody in India.
Oh, who's actually doing the animating?
I bet you they're outsourcing this to the third world.
Probably. All right, let's move on to save. Now that you have, you've actually just saved $50, because I'm pretty sure no one listening to this is going to
make. You know, they got the Animation Award from the Film Recording and Entertainment Council. They've received positive recognition from psychiatrists and teachers throughout the country.
It is the brainchild of a visual artist, Roy Acavia. The little director was inspired by his desire to reconnect with his own child through mutual love of cartoons. So you know what? I'm sorry. Roy, I'm just a cynical, evil person.
Oh, all right. Save. This is interesting. We've talked about IKEA Hacker before. This is another interesting thing. You can take something from IKEA and hack it into something not intended. We understand the concept of hacking. This is a diaper changer made out of a CD case.
Sounds like that could be a little painful.
Actually, it's a diaper, like it's called the Skip Hop diaper changer. Skip Hop is a brand of baby stuff that's really cute, but on the expensive side. This little wallet, this diaper wallet, that's about $30. You can make from a $4.99 CD case.
Oh, it's
from
a
IKEA.
Wallet.
Yeah. So what you
you don't wear it.
No, you don't wear it, and okay. You don't actually change someone's diapers with it.
Quick,
you
kid, change. Get in the CD rack. Okay,
diapers with what's inside.
This is okay.
You just
stick
a diaper in the CD case and some wipes and everything, and then you zip it up.
You don't even take the CD holders out, so you could even put a couple of
CDs in there. Yeah, right next to. You don't put the dirty diapers in there either.
No,
you just throw those
diapers,
in the trash,
and you don't put the wipes in there without the case.
So. Yes. So that's IkeaHacker.blogspot.com.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cute.
That's from Emily.
Yeah, Emily made that. And now let's move on to the give. Okay, Leo, did you make New Year's resolutions this year?
I mean, I made a tacit New Year's resolution.
And have you kept them low these many weeks later?
Yeah, well, one of them was to keep going to the gym 3 times a week.
And you're doing that? Excellent.
Trainer, the trainer every Monday, Wednesday,
Excellent.
And Friday.
Well,
I'm continuing to sit on my blue ball.
Well, good. Yeah, you're good at that. So for those of you who are having more trouble
I'm not doing the eating thing. I should be doing that. So help me.
Okay.
Yeah.
This site is called Stick with 2 K's. And what it does is it helps you accomplish your goals. So you write in your goals that you want to set for yourself. And then to really make it worth it, you put money on it. So you say, like, I'm going to bet myself $20 that I'm going to keep my goal of not eating refined sugars or something like that. That's not my goal, by the way. But if it were, that's what you could enter in there. Or to run 3 days a week, or, you know, to not eat bread or whatever. And then
not eat bread's a good one. That's kinda, I'd like to do that.
And then if you keep it, you get your money back. And if you don't, your money goes to charity.
Oh, I'm doing this. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So that's why this is in the give section. So it's Stick.
Because you know I'm not going to be able to do it.
Yes.
That's why.
So, yeah, and you can put in people that will help you not lie about, you know, whether you've done it
so
or not.
So I should really, like, put $10,000 in here. I mean, no, something that would really, I would like, that would hurt. Pain,
yeah,
painful.
If it would hurt. Yeah, because
$20,
you're going to be, I'm not sure what the maximum is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because if you, you know, I mean, a dollar isn't going to do it for me.
Or $20 probably wouldn't do it for you either.
No, not if I was not. If
but
it
if you
a
really hate
bun.
Giving to the other suggestion they do is like to put it, sign up.
Give it
because you can choose.
Give it to Huckabee.
Right. A charity that you don't, that you hate.
There we go again. Political again. Or give it. You could say give it to Hillary if you feel that way.
Right. Yeah.
There's a lot of people who they would rather lose 1,000 pounds and give $10
to Hillary.
So mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people are turning on Hillary.
Not me.
Mm-hmm. Not
well,
you.
Kind of. I gave Obama money.
I did. I was listening to the radio the other day and they were interviewing a woman who said she would rather vote for Osama bin Laden than Hillary.
But no. What's her name said? Ann Coulter said she's voting for Hillary.
If
she said,
yeah,
she says if McCain,
right, exactly.
This is how crazy it's gotten. If McCain gets a nomination, I'm voting for Hillary.
Exactly.
Come on.
So anyway, that's Stick.
Stick. I'm looking to see in their FAQ how much. Oh, they got referees.
Yeah.
They have a referee. So you could. So you can't really lie. You have to have a referee.
Yeah.
So like I could nominate you as my referee.
Right.
And then they have they work with Nick Check to see if you try to quit smoking. It wouldn't help for weight loss, but if you're trying to quit smoking.
What's Nick Check? It's a website that helps you quit smoking.
Nick Check is a test strip. So they send you the test strip and you have to send it back clean. You get somebody to do it for you.
Yeah.
But,
this is interesting. Site Stick. Spend, save, give, people.
And by the way, I'm reading along in the FAQ. The last question in the FAQ, you know, I have an idea for a new commitment category. Will you add it? What about the privacy? Last question is, what is the capital of Montana? Which you would know that.
You go it's there. Not Billings and it's not Bozeman. It is the other one.
Helena,
yeah.
Courtesy of Matthew Rabin.
I was never very good at capitals.
No, me neither. Did they do that to you in school?
Yeah. Do they still do that or not?
I think they still do that. They didn't do it to me. I don't know how I avoided it.
Oh, really?
Or else I was being an obstinate child, a defiant, obstinate. What is it? ODD? Obstinate defiance disorder?
Yeah, that who we're going to talk to, the Halls, in a few minutes. They're going to talk to
That's
us about oppositional defiance
That's
disorder,
me.
ODD.
No, I don't have that. You're wrong.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
That was a little dramatization,
yes.
Folks.
So before we talk to them, let's do an Audible pick.
I'd like to.
A book pick.
So Audible is our sponsor. This is a commercial, but a commercial product we love, which is the best kind, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
I like taking money from people. They support the podcast, and right. We get to tell everybody about something we'd love, and we tell them about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Audible is audiobooks. Now, unlike the audiobooks I used to get the cassettes, and you'd have to wait, and you'd only get them for a month, and you have to ship them back. You have to keep track of them on and on. This is so much better. You just download them. And you sent me a link from the library that you can download. Mm-hmm. But did you notice that that's Windows only?
You have to
have a Windows Media Player. This is great. It works on anything. You can make a CD out of it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
There's copy protection. I think that's the publishers won't let us do it without.
Right.
But it's done in such an unobtrusive way that you could put it on almost any device. Certainly any iPod, iPhone, put it on the Kindle. You could put it on the Zen. There's a lot of different players it supports. Or you can burn it to a CD. A lot of people listen on their computer. The idea is you're listening. You're not wasting time when you're driving, when you're working out. When I'm at the gym, always Audible. In fact, I just finished The Keep.
Oh,
I was
did
on
you
the
like
Stairmaster.
It?
That's a great ending.
Yeah.
It's a great ending.
Yeah.
I won't spoil it for people.
Did you like the whole book or just the
Loved
ending?
Loved it.
Yeah, it was
Yeah,
great.
It was a really interesting. It was not what I expected.
Yeah.
You said gothic novel.
Yeah.
So I just finished that today on the Stairmaster. Mm. So anyway, that's kind of, I'll tell you what. If you want exercising to be easier, you know, I can't do it when the trainer's yelling at me, but the rest of the time when I'm just doing the Stairmaster mm-hmm. or any kind of repetitive, I love listening to Audible books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to audible.com/monkeys, you can get, you sign up and you'll get a credit to a free book. And that's why we always like to give you a book to listen to. Sometimes on this show, it's kids books. Sometimes it's grown-ups. What do you got for us today?
What I have today is a book that I'm listening to right now called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. By Richard Louv. Have you heard of this book?
No, but Jennifer's going to make me read it.
It's really interesting.
She's mad at me because I don't go camping with the kids.
Well, you're not the only one. Because there's been recent studies that say that the amount of time that families and people are spending outside camping and fishing has been really going down lately.
Well, there's bugs out there. Sticks.
Well, that's not why. I mean, the reason people are spending less time outside is because they're spending more time on the computer.
Right.
And I thought, you know, before I picked this, I thought, well, this is kind of a weird choice for our podcast. But I really feel like that's part of what we believe in parenting in the digital age means, you know, using computers to make life easier, but also recognizing that we need
to. They're not the whole thing.
Right. And that we need to really help our kids use them in, you know, healthy as part of their lives, but also still getting outside and doing things outside. And this is really fascinating. He talks about this commercial, like a car commercial where this family is driving through this beautiful landscape, and in the back of the car, the two kids are watching the DVD player.
Oh, that's so sad.
And it's just like, and that's supposed to be a selling point for the car, you know, that the kids can have a DVD player. And it's sad. I mean, it's just like, we're not, and the point of this is what we still, you know, people are more and more environmental, but what we're doing is more, we have more of like what they call a mediated nature. So we're watching it on TV on big, you know, if
mediated.
You have these giant plasma screens, you know, where you can watch like the Earth DVD, like, why do you feel you need to get out there? You know, so
it's not even mediated. That's not nature at all.
Right. But what he says is this really does affect people and can negatively affect children if they're not outside
in
the world.
True.
They need nutrition. they need sleep, and they need contact with nature. So,
well, you know, I've always said, people often used to ask me a lot, well, how old should kids get computerized, and when should they? And I always say, you know, it's too sensorially deprived. It's not a rich enough experience for a little kid. They need, you know, physical contact. They need the outside world, and the mm-hmm. computer is just too narrow for a little kid. And yeah. I have to say, I support this in theory. We haven't been camping. My Jennifer keeps saying, this summer, let's go camping.
Yeah.
We should.
Well, you spend a lot of time outside.
We
in
hike.
Egypt.
We go to the park. No, we, yeah.
You travel.
Surf. Yeah. Although that's not, I mean, Egypt is kind of not the great outdoors. I'm going to Australia. I'm going to be hiking around.
Yeah.
I should bring the kids. Mm-hmm. No way. don't even think about it. So this is a guy who writes for the New York Times, the Washington Post. He's talking about the alienation of kids from the woods. Last child in the woods. It's kind of a little Hansel and Gretel-y thing mm-hmm. going on there.
Yeah. And yeah. I really didn't mean to be talking about two different disorders, nature deficit disorder and oppositional defiant disorder.
I've never heard
disorder.
Of NDD. This
wow.
is a first for me.
Mm-hmm.
Get it at, it's by Richard, how do you pronounce that?
Louv, I think.
Louv?
Love.
Yeah, L-O-U-V. And it's on Audible along with 45,000 other books. A lot of, you know, if you're kind of psychologically oriented, a lot of books about psychology, you know, I don't want to call them self-help, but there's a lot of motivational stuff,
mm-hmm.
everything that you'd ever want. It's all there. All you got to do is 45,000 plus books. It's something you could read a book a day for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so great. I can't tell you how much I love it. Audible.com/monkeys. We thank them so much for their support of Jumping Monkeys. And, I suppose we could talk to Philip and Nancy, but I'm not going to. I don't want to. I'm not going to. You've heard of ODD before. Oppositional Defiant Disorder.
Me?
Have you heard of
that? I hadn't until I got their book, but I am really interested in it. Their book is called Parenting a Defiant Child. Are they on the line now?
Yeah, let's
they
talk
are?
To them. So it's good to talk to you, Phil Hall and Nancy Hall. We mentioned already that, Nancy, you're a principal.
I was a principal for 15 years. I'm working in higher education now, training teachers.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have so much respect for principals. We had a wonderful principal at a grade school here when my kids were in grade school that just really made such a difference.
Boy, it does. They set the whole building climate, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
The school, I think at least a small elementary school as they were in, well, not that small, a couple hundred, 400 kids, something like that, but it rises and falls on the principal.
Yes, you're right.
That's Phil Hall, by the way. We call him Dr. Phil. He probably doesn't like that so much.
Oh, if I only had the money. That
Phil is a psychologist. Both Phil and Nancy are the authors of Parenting a Defiant Child, a sanity-saving guide to finally stopping the bad behavior. And, you know, we have teenagers. I do. Not Megan. Megan has little kids. We have a 15-year-old, 13-year-old. And I was saying, I think that's... Is that normal? By the time they're teenagers, that's normal. They're pills. They're pains in the butt. No?
They're becoming independent. They're
yeah.
starting to make their own. They're becoming their own decision makers, and they don't always make the best decisions because we right. have a lot more information than they do, and they sometimes make mistakes.
But that in that case, that's not a disorder. That's just a teenager.
That's just a teenager.
You're talking
doing
about
what teenagers need to do.
That's kind of how I feel. Although,
yep.
kick kills me.
Yeah,
but they're separating, and then I guess the idea is by the time they actually leave the nest, I'll hate them enough that I won't mind. No, I'm kidding.
No, by the time they leave the nest, they'll step 1 foot out in the world, they'll appreciate what they have.
I hope so. I'm praying for that. Yeah, no, they're wonderful kids. So you're talking about younger kids, though, who
very much so.
Yeah, yeah, who are kind of not. This isn't a developmental stage for them.
But on the other side of the spectrum, I have two-year-old boy twins, so it's
okay.
kind of normal for them, right, to be
they're
insane.
In defiant twos, aren't they?
They are.
The oppositional twos. Yeah.
Yes.
And again, that is a normal stage that young children go through. They're learning the power of that word no.
Right.
And that's important for them to learn too.
So when is it not okay?
So what about the in-between?
Well, I think you both hit it exactly. If that defiant stage lasts up into past three and into four, then one needs to get concerned, and particularly when it starts to affect how other kids relate to them and how they relate to other adults and causes stress in the home, then we need to be concerned.
So So this is past three and into four. Okay, good.
Yeah. Is this a, I mean, how widely recognized is this disorder? It seems like there's a million different disorders kids can. Is this a common, is this a clinical disorder? Is this in the DSM-3?
Yes, it was first labeled in the DSM-3 in 1983, the first time oppositional defiant disorder became a category. And then once any set of behaviors become identified, then a lot of people jump on the bandwagon, and we see more and more kids with it. And we also then suddenly recognize and say, oh, gosh, you know, that kid really has oppositional defiant right. disorder.
So what are some of the behaviors that are?
Excellent question. Really, that inability to take a direction. They want control, and when they don't have control, they have major emotional outbursts and aggression and defiance. That's, I guess, those would be what I would describe.
Now, as a principal, Nancy, this must be a more than disruptive to the family. This must be an issue in schools big time.
It is, and often teachers are trained to use particular techniques that work well with, say, 80% of the students. With real defiant children, those techniques don't work very well. They're very specific techniques that are used with a defiant child that help the classroom teacher manage the environment, and those same techniques can be used in the home, setting up the structure of the classroom and establishing some routines and having some automatic kind of behaviors that the student can get comfortable with and knows well aware, you know, from the beginning that those behaviors are expected and they're actually taught. And parents can do the same thing at home so they don't get into daily struggles with their kids. There's a routine that helps a very defiant child manage their day and get through their day much more successfully.
Well, help us set up this routine. Where do we start? What do we need to do?
Well, I think in terms of a family routine, there are particular times that are very difficult. It's usually in the morning, getting kids up and dressed and breakfast, and there are just a lot of demands. And also in the evening around bedtime, they're tired, they've had a long day, sometimes they've had problems during the day. Those are the two times of the day mm-hmm. that a routine can really help a defiant child.
It sounds like transitions are difficult.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're difficult for everybody. I have trouble mm-hmm. with transitions, but mm-hmm. but that it's particularly difficult for ODD kids.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
This reminds me of my son, actually, a little bit. And it is getting up is hard. It's not so much he's cranky. He doesn't. It's the transition that's difficult. And getting home mm-hmm. is hard. Getting him to do homework. Now, he's 13. Mm-hmm. If you don't become aware of this at a younger age, can it become a bigger problem as time goes on?
Absolutely. The research is very clear on that. They start taking that defiance and aggression from the home or from the school out mm. into the community.
That's a problem.
And that becomes a problem.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's also associated, Leo, we should mention, many of these children with oppositional defiant behaviors also have attention deficit disorder.
Right.
And you need to treat both of them.
Yeah, Henry's been diagnosed with ADD. He's actually very bright, but
okay.
His ADD makes it difficult for him in school. And I think it kind of engenders this kind of a little bit of disruption for him because he's not following it. And it gets difficult for him. So this is a little bit of what's going on with these younger kids, too?
Oh, very much so.
Interesting, yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. And if we take an
it's
ADHD,
frustration. It's frustration.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are so set up to hear negatives.
Right.
Stop doing that. I mean, they get impulsive. And somebody says, stop doing that. You're doing it wrong. Quit. You know, knock it off. And they're doing behaviors they really can't control, and it's sort of, you know, and then they're getting punished for things
right.
that really aren't fully in their control. And what would you or I do?
Right.
We would start to get negative.
Yeah, it's a downward spiral, yeah.
Yeah, it's a downward spiral, exactly, unless you find a way to break it, yeah.
So what should a parent say besides stop that or no?
Oh, that's a very good question. the whole host of things. One is to offer choices. When you see a behavior, I guess I work all the time with these kinds of kids. That's the difficulty with writing a book, because then people ask you to come work with those kinds of kids, and that becomes your life. So one of the things is, I really, when I work in various institutions and schools and with kids, I don't say the word no. I don't give them any indication that they did something wrong. Mm. I will give them a choice. I will say, you can do this or you can do this. It's two positive choices. Mm. I will ask them to evaluate their behavior. Is this really helping you now? Is this how you want to handle this? Is this what your plan is? You know, evaluate their behavior. And then when they evaluate their behavior, they'll catch themselves, and then allows me to stroke them and say, wow, you're right. Mm. Good choice.
Another strategy that works well is to redirect the child, particularly young children, to another activity. So rather than saying stop that and focusing on that behavior, ask them to come over and do something with you. And generally, you know, they like that attention. They'll be drawn to the more positive activity. Sometimes they don't even know how to get out of a tough situation, but you can provide another avenue.
And make it a high-interest activity, make it something they want to do, particularly if they're going down a path that's really going to get them into behaviors that are difficult to ignore. It's well worth it to take the time and involve them in a high-interest activity that will get the other behaviors out of sight, out of mind.
A nice example that I've seen Phil use with very young children is to take out those blowing bubbles, the liquid solution where you can blow a couple bubbles. Kids are drawn to bubbles and that activity. And if a young child is tantruming and you can redirect them, you know, with a high interest activity like that, you can get them down a better path.
I have a problem with my boys are very physical with each other, and, you know, they've been biting and hitting. And I think especially when you're around other kids and their parents, it's hard not to, I find I want to be calm and just say no, but it's, you know, other parents are very, it's, you know, getting bitten, having your child get bitten is very alarming. And I feel like I need to show more emotion and say no for other parents' benefit sometimes.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah, it really is. We do a lot of that. I also find it in staff that feel that their supervisors expect that.
Yeah.
And I think you have to have that conversation and let other parents know, or you have to let supervisors know, here's how I intend to handle it. I'll be responsible to the behavior, but I won't be responsible for it. And so when this happens, my technique is to redirect, offer a choice or offer evaluation or offer a high-interest activity. I'll deal with it, but I'm not going to deal with it in a punitive way that only makes it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is an educational process for everybody involved, not just the immediate caretaker, but for everybody in the situation.
Very well put.
What age do we start, and what age, is it too late to start with an 8-year-old or a 9-year-old?
Oh, no. No, if that's where you are, that's where you start. Most often, these really surface when they move from the school or move from the home to the school.
Right.
So, you know, parents are busy and they'll almost accept it and become part of what they think is, well, that's you know, Joey. Then the child goes to school and in kindergarten or the first grade and have significant problems. It really comes to clinicians' attention at that time.
Right.
The school puts pressure on the parents and basically say, we have a child here we can't serve, or we're having a difficult time serving with other children.
And it's not that your kid is enjoying this or wants to, or is a mean kid or is an abusive kid. This is a sign of something else.
Oh, boy, you're exactly right there, Leo. These kids are not happy with themselves.
Right.
They just don't know another way.
Right. They're struggling.
They're struggling.
Yeah.
There's some research that indicates even in hospitals, as nurses work with babies and their mothers, that there's some children who are just real whiny and fussy and aren't easily consoled. And there's just a temperament there that makes life more difficult.
You have kind of in the back a 9-month plan so that you can really modify this behavior in 9 months.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And I think that's realistic. I think to say we're going to do it in 10 days or something is
that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Wow. Good, you know. It's a process, and it's best to take it in small increments where you can say, okay, I'm successful here, and now I'll go on to the next thing and be successful there.
Yeah.
And once the child starts to see that there's success, the child will gravitate towards it and will start to align themselves, try to find that success more. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Part of that plan, we have a chapter that we call Making the House a Home. And I think that's a first step that parents can take that has a big payoff in terms of limiting the child's exposure to violence in their toys and games and videos.
Oh, interesting.
And replacing those toys with toys that are a little more calming, that really lead to better behavior.
It's not necessarily that it's teaching them violence, but it's stimulating them in a way.
It stimulates it. Yeah. It's an overstimulation for these types of children. And then just organizing the home. These kids sometimes are disorganized themselves, and so when a home itself is disorganized, it leads to more temper tantruming and difficulty with transitions. So both organization and kind of sanitizing the home of violent influences helps considerably.
Routine is helpful, as you mentioned. You talk about something called a coercive cycle. Boy, I recognize this. We still do this. Can you describe what the coercive cycle is?
Sure. A parent makes a request on a child, and it could be in a very appropriate quest. Take your bath.
Take your bath. We still do this with Henry, by the way.
Yeah.
Shower time. And he goes, no!
Okay, you know. Yeah. And then the child is defiant back and says, I'm not going to.
Right.
And usually the natural step is the parent then is a little more forceful. I said take your bath, and I mean it, and you darn well better.
It escalates.
And then the kid... you've upped the ante, and the child will up the ante, and they become aggressive. And at that point, the parent backs off and says, you know, it's been a long day. He really doesn't need a bath. It's no big deal. And walks away.
Yep. I do this all the time. I feel guilty, but I don't know any other way to deal with this. So tell me how to deal with this.
Well, I would be looking at a privilege that's related to that, that the child wants next.
Yeah.
What does he want after the bath? Does he have a favorite TV show that he wants? Does he have a snack that he wants? And I would have the routine laid out that says, and at a good moment, he'll sit down and say, yeah, you know, I should take a bath, and I should do this.
Right.
And then you make it contingent and say, okay, you take a bath, then you do the next thing, and then you can earn that privilege.
We do that, you know. No MySpace until you've taken a shower.
Exactly. But you have to be able to have control of that privilege.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can't have control of the privilege, forget it.
Right. That's like dog training.
They say,
that part I know. They say, if you can't back it up, don't give the order. Because you're setting yourself up to fail.
I feel like that I have to be really creative all day long with my kids, just figuring out things that I really can take away from them, you know, that aren't going to make my life harder.
Well, I actually give them privileges so that I could take them away.
Well, that's true.
I come up with a whole bunch of stuff. But, you know, the nice thing is it is easier as they get older because then they have cell phones and they have friends on MySpace. They have stuff that they want to do.
Yeah, I just started working out a program. It's a psychiatric unit for adolescent children, and they were having like 2 to 3 restraints a day. The first day that I went there, 2 police cars were there to deal with these kids. And I looked at their program, and I said, why wouldn't a kid misbehave? They don't lose anything.
Oh, boy.
You know, let's add some privileges here. You know, let's have some positives so that if you behave appropriately, you get something.
So the consequence of having the cops show up isn't sufficient.
No.
They need a gain.
Yeah, they need a gain. They need to show that there's behaviors in order to access privileges, like we did the community. Let's have some community outings. But you know what? If you run away, I'm not going to take you out in the community. If you lose your temper and hit another kid, I don't think you're ready for the community.
Right.
If you won't stay in my classroom and walk out of my classroom, I can't take you down to the community. You know what? The kids can understand that.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And then they can start to say, well, okay, I have this problem. How can you help me with it?
Right. And with a younger kid, though, obviously you scale it down to the appropriate privilege and
exactly.
and so forth. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it does sound like, contrary to what I presupposed at the beginning of this, that it can be a problem as with older kids as well.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Great. Now I've got another problem. Another diagnosis I have to put on the list for my kids.
So to me, when you take a privilege away, it doesn't seem that much different than, say, like bribing someone. To me, when I say, okay, well, you can't watch TV unless you take a bath. Doesn't seem to me that much like take a bath and then you can watch TV. But does a child see those two things as very different?
Hmm.
That's interesting. I split a very fine hair at that point, Megan. And particularly, I like to see the privilege related to the behavior that I expect related to the privilege that I'm granting. For example, the example that I just gave with the students in school, that if you're going to run away, I can't take you into the community. If you're going to get in fights, you're not appropriate for the community.
Mm. So that makes sense. It's not like I'm going to give you candy.
Exactly.
It's that you can't, you know, this is a logical consequence of your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, and I'm certain I did it with my daughter, and you're going to do it soon with your teenage sons in terms of a car driver.
Yes.
You know, the first police ticket, you're going to lose or if I hear about it, you're going to lose your car driving privileges until you can handle that responsibility.
Yeah. I know. I can't wait till Abby, who's 15, she'll be 16 next month.
Okay.
I'm so excited. Next month she gets the driver's license. I've got much more control. I have total control.
Yeah, okay.
We'll see. We'll see. I keep holding out hope.
Yeah.
Someday. Now, this is a great book. I'm going to steal this from Megan. We'll trade it back and forth. Because even though I have teenagers, I think Henry actually fits in this profile pretty well.
And ADHD. There's a good chance of it.
Yeah, he's not hyperactive. It's
just the ADD.
Just the ADD, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, and it's, you know, he's tests very well. Mm-hmm. He's a smart kid, but he's hard for him to absorb instructions. It doesn't sink in. And I think that frustration then does lead to the acting out that that seems to be a part of ODD, this oppositional defiant disorder.
Yep.
Of course, my wife's a psychotherapist. That probably also drives him crazy. Philip Hall is a psychologist and works with kids like this. Nancy Hall is an educator, now teaching people to be teachers, which is a wonderful, probably two of the most important professions in the world, psychologists and teachers. We need them both. And the book is called Parenting a Defiant Child, a Sanity-Saving Guide to Finally Stopping the Bad Behavior. The workbook in the back. Would you mind if I Xerox this, Megan, just so I can...
You can keep that and just hand it down to me like you've handed down all your other books.
All the other... Good Night Moon, you know, The Runaway Bunny, Parenting a Defiant Child. It just goes all the way down the line. Hey, Philip and Nancy, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You've given me hope.
Okay.
I'm going to take away those car keys right now.
Thanks.
Take care.
Thanks for the phone call.
Bye-bye. Oh, man. You know, it's like when you read a medical book, you think you have every disease that you read about.
Mm-hmm.
When I read kid parenting books, I feel like everything I read, that's it. That's us.
Yeah.
But everybody has these kind of problems.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you were describing that, I have that.
You've
with Annabella
that.
Too. Like, it's just, we have the coercive cycle.
It
and then you just get tired and you just think, why am I why am I fighting
it's
this battle?
It's easier to take out the trash than to fight this. It's easier to clean the room.
Yeah.
It's yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Easier to do the dishes.
Yep.
But I'm sorry, he has to take a shower.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell him things like, you know, girls will like you better if you bathe.
Right. Yeah, that is that's not like giving him candy. That's good. That's like
related.
What he said. It's related. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. Anybody listening to these podcasts thinks I must have the worst children in the world. They're really great kids. And
you
it's just normal parenting stuff. Being a parent is hard. Those of you who have little kids know, and it's a challenge with a little kid, and it continues to be a challenge.
Right.
Probably, and I'll find out, even when they're adult children.
Yeah.
Probably. I know my mom's still challenged with me.
Mm.
Here it is, 50 years later, she's still putting up with me.
Yeah, I'm shocked when you say that Henry has trouble paying attention. That's so unlike you.
You know, I feel so guilty already, and here you are laying that trip on me, man. I don't know. Is ADD? Oh, look! Did you see that?
No, I am. I know I'm ADD. Before we even recognized this in Henry, I was diagnosed with adult ADD, and it's funny. And then I looked back and I said, "Oh yeah, I've had all of those behaviors."
Yeah.
As a kid, but you know what I did, and I think this happens a lot of times with all sorts of dysfunctions. You learn to compensate. And in a way, I've compensated, you know, and it's worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
And you just hope that I mean, we're all flawed.
We are flawed.
You know.
Yes.
You in your case, well, we're not all flawed, but some of us are flawed.
Right. Most people are flawed. I mean,
would
it's
be working
a flaw
with a
that
perfect
I'm not
person.
Flawed.
There's a flaw. She's too perfect.
Yes. Oh, so, yeah. No, that's absolutely not true.
No. But I mean, and it's interesting how one does come up with workarounds, to use a technology term,
right.
for whatever your issues are.
Mm-hmm.
So I always surrounded myself with more organized people, like producers.
Mm-hmm.
Like radio and TV are perfect for me, right?
I'm over-organized. That's, my problem.
That's why we make a good pair. Because you come in, you got all the links here.
Right.
And I'm going, oh, look at the pretty colors. And you got them, though. But
yeah.
You know, you're
mm-hmm.
ready.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so cool about you. So all what right. else do we have to do on the show?
On this show, we have the YouTube video of the week.
I'm ready.
All right. This is so inappropriate from this discussion that we've just
is
had.
Is it violent?
Sort of.
Oh, good.
Do you have the link?
I do. Shall I play it?
Yes. This is Charlie.
Charlie
bit me.
Bit me. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
This is, you know what's funny?
Charlie.
Wait, I have to pause this.
Yeah.
I have to pause this. First of all, you have to see it because it's the funniest thing.
Yeah.
We've been playing this at our house over
really?
And over
you
and
have?
Over again.
Has
you know those,
everybody seen this?
You know those 6.5 million views on
That's
YouTube?
You?
We're several hundred thousand of those. It is the funniest thing. You
it
can't stop
really
laughing
funny.
At this.
Yeah.
So do a Google on YouTube and Charlie bit my finger.
Mm-hmm.
So it's they're how old would you say? Like
3 and I'd say 6 months.
Pretty young. But the 6-month-old has a lot of personality.
Yeah.
Actually, they both do. They're British, little British kids.
That's part of why it's funny, right?
Yeah, the 3-year-old is holding the 6-month-old in his lap. And he's going to do something kind of dumb. He sticks his finger in the 3-year-old's mouth. And the 3-year-old obligingly opens his mouth. That hurts a little, doesn't it? That hurts a little
Ouch.
More. Yeah.
Ow!
Yeah.
Ow, Charlie! Ow! Charlie, that really hurt.
And then Charlie looks at him and laughs.
It's really too much.
He can't be 6 months old because he has a full mouth.
Yeah.
A full mouth of teeth.
8, 9 months. 10 months, maybe.
Maybe he got his teeth early.
Yeah.
It's the funniest thing you ever saw. But then, Charlie's giggling.
He's really
his
laughing.
His brother's a little mad. Now his brother smiles.
Charlie's
and that
brother.
That really hurt, Charlie, and it's still hurting.
Oh, that is the cutest thing.
It is really cute. You got to watch it.
Usually people think their own kids are so cute.
Yeah.
And you look and you go, yeah, that's nice. But this is really a case of kids being really
cute.
It is cute.
Really cute. Yeah, Charlie bit me. Poor Charlie's brother is really going to hate his parents when he grows up and knows
one
how
more
many
time.
People
he... See, this is why there's 7 million views on this. You can't not watch it again. And again.
It really, and it's sad that it cheers us up, that it really hurts.
But you know what's,
bit me.
The reason it works, because at the end they're friends again.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, if Charlie's brother like threw him off his lap, then
right.
that wouldn't be funny.
Slapped him down. No.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that Charlie is so cute and he smiles.
Ooh, ouch. Ouch. Ouch, Charlie. Charlie, that really hurt.
I think that's going to be the new catchphrase. Charlie,
yeah.
That really hurt.
Yeah.
Charlie bit me. Charlie bit me.
I'm so glad you think that's funny because when I was watching it, I was like, I only think this is funny because I have boys that bite each other.
But. No, I think everybody, because it's just kind of cute and sweet and nobody gets really hurt.
Right.
And it's and what's funny is the 8-month-old Charlie is they're both great personalities.
Yeah.
That's very cute.
Maybe they're actors, like Lonely Girl.
Actually, they're small. They're little people.
Yeah.
He's actually 43. No, I don't know. He does
what
have
if they
a,
were
quite
child actors? We found out they weren't. There was really, like,
the
Charlie
whole thing
wasn't
was
really.
Set up. It was
yeah.
scripted.
Mm-hmm.
they're really Will Ferrell's children putting on an accent. Sometimes I wonder.
Ouch, that hurt, Charlie.
There's no way they acted that. That was so cute.
No. All right. I've got another link. This is interesting. A new American Academy of Pediatrics report stresses play for healthy development. This is really interesting. It says,
oh, I agree with this so much.
Yeah. Just, it's important that kids play, really young kids too.
Because they give homework now in second grade.
I know. It's crazy.
And kids are going inside. They're sitting with pencil and paper doing homework when they should be outside playing. Right. I don't think they should be homework till seventh grade.
I know. I actually don't think we're going to let our kids do homework. That's going to be.
Can you not?
What happens to them? Well, in the early grades, what happens to them? I mean, do they
fail? Well, the teachers won't like you very much. They're teaching to the test. That's the problem.
Right.
They get, at least in California. Well, I think it's everywhere now because of the No Child Left Behind. But in California, that you have to get funded, you not only have to have attendance, you also have to get a certain test scores. And they punish schools that don't get good test scores by reducing funding. Oh, that makes sense. Let's see. School's struggling. Kids aren't doing very well. Let's give them less money.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, it makes me mad. And then what happens is that teachers teach the test, and teachers don't like that. Most of the teachers I've talked to don't like this. And that's why there's all that homework, I think.
Yeah, and maybe this report will change things. It says a loss of free time in combination with a hurried lifestyle can be a source of stress, anxiety, and may even contribute to depression for many children.
They also say supporting an appropriately challenging academic schedule for each child with a balance of extracurricular activities based on each child's needs, not on competitive community standards or the need to gain college admissions. Thank you. So they're even talking about older kids.
Right. But as far as younger kids, they talk about toys, like the benefits of true toys, such as blocks and dolls, in which children use their imagination fully over passive toys that require limited imagination.
Best toys we ever got our kids. I told you this before.
Well, we have your blocks.
The cardboard blocks.
Oh, yeah, the cardboard
blocks. Not the wooden. You have our wooden ones. Do you have your cardboard ones?
No. The cardboard ones we didn't have your cardboard ones. We were given cardboard ones. And they were just too difficult to put away. We had so many of them that we just...
You don't need many. You need about 20.
Yeah.
They have forts and stuff. Those are the things. It seems like these have been around since I was a kid. They're cardboard. You fold them up. They look like they have faux bricks painted on them.
Yeah.
And they're pretty big. Yeah. I mean, they're like shoebox size.
Yeah.
And they're great.
Mm-hmm.
We had so much fun with them. And they're strong enough you can stand on them.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we'll get those again someday. But
your kids
now,
were too little.
The big, yeah.
We got the most value out of them in like 4, 5, 6, 7.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the best Christmas gift we ever got our kids. And that's an example of what they're saying. Because kids have fun. They use their imagination. Sometimes the box the refrigerator came in is
better. Oh, yeah, yeah. The big screen TV box was awesome.
Henry always, whenever I get a big box, and I get a lot of them, Henry always says, can I have the box? That's great. I don't know. So what are you going to do with it? He says, I don't know. I just want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's great. So good. This is aap.org in the press room.
We can put a link in our show.
Print it out.
Also.
Send it to your member of Congress, your state legislature.
Your second grade teacher.
You know, I don't know if I think that start higher up. I mean, the teachers know this.
Right. It's
teachers
true.
Know
it's
this.
True. All right. Now it's time for some listener feedback. This first email came from Dusty. He says, when I saw this.
That's my cat's name.
Dusty?
Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
This email did not come from Leo's cat. When I saw this site and played around with it, I thought of you in the podcast. Actually, Dusty has been watching us since the screensaver days, and he sent me a picture of him and the two of us when we were in Alabama, I think. Remember we took that trip? We went to like the Best Buy and we, did a little talk. I think it was Alabama.
Wow.
And it was when I was pregnant with Annabella.
Yeah, I do remember
and,
that.
Yeah, and his daughter, Hannah, who was, I think, like
Alabama.
Maybe...
We had cheese grits for breakfast.
Yes, yeah.
I remember that. It was in Birmingham.
Birmingham, yeah. And we went to another city, too. But
we did. We did a multi-city tour.
Yeah. And Hannah was probably like around 5 there. Then now she's 8.
Well, she must be older than
that. If I was pregnant, she was probably.
That was not 3 years ago.
Well, she's 8.
So she was younger than 5.
Maybe Abby, who was 11. His daughter Abby was there, too. She might have been 5. Yeah. So
that's more like it, because Tech TV, you want to know something? It's been off the air for 4 years.
Wow. It's a long time.
In May, it will be the 10th anniversary of the launch of ZDTV.
Wow.
10th anniversary.
That's crazy. I remember the 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a party.
We did.
Yeah.
All right. When I saw this site and played around with it, Dusty says, I thought of you in the podcast. The site is Zooba, ZOOBUH.com. It is a kid-safe email site. You may have already covered this, which we haven't.
But this is the thing that we were talking about with social networks for kids.
Right. This would be, something. He says...
there you go.
It's a pay site, but quite reasonable.
You had the answer in your hand.
I did. Well, I didn't really investigate Zooba, actually, if you want to know the truth.
Has your child ever wanted an email address? Zooba is safe email for kids and families. So you set them up with a Zooba account.
Right, and it has parental controls.
And I presume filters. You know, the best way to do this is to block all email except, so it's an opt-in.
Mm-hmm.
So when you only allow addresses like grandma's address, a friend's address. And so that way, no spam.
Right. That makes sense.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
So there's kids.zooba.com. There's teens.zooba.com. And there's parents.zooba.com.
Right. And this is, good. When we're talking about taking away privileges, you can...
I'm going to take your Zooba.
Yeah. You can, like the pop-up, a message comes up if you try to log in. And
look how smart they are. So log on to the kids.zooba.com. It's nice and kid-friendly.
Uh-huh.
And then go to the teen.zooba.com. It's a little bit cooler.
Yeah. Look more web 2.0.
Yeah.
Teen 2.0.
I want an account there. That's neat.
So Dusty says he feels comfortable with Abby 11 and Hannah 8.
That's the way to do it. And when it's web-based, it's better. You know, I set up, the kids have their own email. I won't give you the address, but they have their own email.
Good.
They have their own email. You probably could figure it out.
Well, I know Abby's. That's how I get her to babysit.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's set up for, well, she has a school email address too, but it's set up on, Apple Mail, and it's not good for anybody. Even Jennifer has trouble. A nice, easy web-based interface would be a better idea.
Yeah.
Too hard to use the application.
Right.
This has time restrictions on it.
Yeah.
That's neat. Block senders. So if that boyfriend I don't like, block him. I don't understand what happened to him. He doesn't like me anymore, Daddy. No, he doesn't. He was no good.
I have another email from Eugene. He says, I wanted to share that it seems a new study in Ontario, this is just something we just talked about, agrees with Leo on the issue of homework being useless.
Oh.
And there's an article in the Star about that.
So their homework, so they're saying, so this is a Canadian study. I wonder if Canadian kids do as much homework.
I bet they don't.
As American kids. I bet they don't either.
But it's interesting.
But you know who does a lot of homework?
Denise Howell's son.
Yeah, he had. How old was he?
He was in preschool,
and he had homework.
Yeah, that's why I think Eugene was writing in about this.
No, but I was thinking of the Japanese.
Oh, they do a lot of homework.
Supposedly, the kids are working all the time.
Hmm. Do you want to listen to voicemail?
I have voicemail.
Okay, give me
a
voicemail.
We don't know this guy's name, but he comes from Dubuque, Iowa. And as soon as he starts, here we go.
Hello. I think I have the right number. I think this was for the Jumping Monkeys podcast. If not, please forgive me and just ignore what I'm about to say. I'm calling in with an idea that we sort of stole from my sister-in-law, who she stole from someone else, and it's something that we do at birthday parties. When it's your kid's birthday, you can, with their input, create a CD of songs that they like. My son's 5 right now, so... most of it is like cartoon themes and that kind of stuff. But you just build it in iTunes, or that's what we use, and burn a CD, and then we create labels with the song title names on it and whatnot, and then give one to every kid at the party. And it's been a big hit, and so we've been doing it every year for the last 2 years. And his friends have now picked up on it, so now they're doing it, and that's how we learned about it. So it's just sort of a neat idea, and it gives them something to look forward to and think about what songs they like, and you can talk to them about different kinds of music and all kinds of.
I like that idea. I think that's a neat idea.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'm going to steal that.
And it's just burning a CD is not expensive, and it is fun. You can get into so much good music now.
Yeah, we did that for Christmas last year for Annabella's friends at school. But yeah, I think that's good, because then
did you really? So you gave them all burned CDs?
Yeah, we did.
Mixtapes?
Mm-hmm. And I saw someone in Whole Foods the other day who told me that her son's still listening to it.
That's the greatest idea ever. Yeah.
I got one more email from Marcy, speaking of Audible. So she says, I just thought I'd holler and let you know that I tried www.audiobooks.com/jumpingmonkeys, and it comes up a page not found.
Yes, because that's the wrong address.
The address
is Audible. You know, I should say it more clearly.
Audible Books.
A-U-D-I-B-L-E.
A-U-D-I-B-L-E. And you can just go to audible.com. But if you want to take advantage of our deal, it's audible.com/monkeys.
Yeah,
that's going to change.
Monkeys.
It's going to be audiblepodcast.com soon.
Okay.
But right now it's audible.com/monkeys. A-U-D-I-B-L-E. It's time for the prizey part of our portion of our program from Z Recommends, right?
From Prizy.
Z-Rex and Prizy.
It's all a big
whack.
Yeah.
Jeremiah, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Very good.
What do you got this week?
Well, we have three pretty interesting giveaways that are closing for the week of March 1st through 7th. One of them is another huge giveaway. I don't really know how she does it, but Lauren McMullen from Oh Baby Byproducts, I mentioned her a couple of our sessions ago for a great Pacific Northwest giveaway that she had. She's got one now for the Bay Area. So it's all independent, small companies that produce baby products and toddler products, sort of honing in on where they're from and what they do, and they each contributed something. And I think she has like $450 worth of prizes all going to a single winner. So it includes like a really cute little poncho from this company called Skipping Hippos that I'd never heard of, and an all-natural bath and body products company called True Kid that makes cleaners and body stuff, you know, like lotions and soaps and stuff for kids that don't have any phthalates or all these other frightening chemicals and products and stuff that are really actually in the news just in the last little bit, particularly phthalates. But these are all natural stuff. They don't have any weird chemicals in them, and they're giving away a set of lip balm and lotion and stuff like that. And all kinds of other stuff all wrapped up in that giveaway. And that closes on March 2nd. That's the end. That's the last day to enter that giveaway. Then we also have a pretty substantial single prize. Floor, F-L-O-R, rugs. They're like carpet tiles, but when you think of carpet tiles, you don't think of anything that's nice. They're like really, really chic, high-end, basically like a carpet square pattern thing that you can like mix and match and reformulate into the shape that you want it. And I think it's an 8x10 rug that Super Dumb Supervillain is giving away that runs about $300. And you just have to look at the company's website and then comment on her post to enter that. And then the last one that stood out to me that we have on the books already for that time period is an ongoing giveaway that Thingamababy is doing. He's partnered with a PR company that handles a lot of kids' music to offer basically, he's got a set of five optional kids' CDs, and a winner who's selected from everybody who commented on his blog that week can pick from any of these five CDs. And I've heard a few of them, and they're really, really awesome. So they're great CDs to choose from. One kids' CD by Modesky Martin and Wood, called Let's Go Everywhere, is one that I would recommend you picked if you won. And another one by a folk sort of artist called Ellis Paul. He's got a CD called The Dragonfly Races that we've been listening to a lot in our house and really enjoying. And then there's like three others that you could pick from. And the way you enter that is just by commenting on any post on his blog, and then he sees who commented. And either he's picking them at random, but he's threatened that if people just submit meaningless comments that he'll have some sort of judging system. He's experimenting with ways to get conversations going on his blog, and it's a pretty good format. So
excellent. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Thingamababy.
What's that?
I said I'm a big fan of Thingamababy.
Really fun blog, and he's about to have another Thingamababy, his second.
Oh my!
Probably by the time that there's hopefully. I can't remember. They're having some issues, and either it'll be here by then, he'll be here by then, or they'll be real close. But that always makes for interesting blog reading too.
Didn't he ask the readers of his blog to name his baby or something?
Yeah, he had this incredibly lengthy and involved contest where people named. It was in conjunction with Vincent Shoes. People picked names. I think they knew it was a boy, so I think they were all boy names. And he picked, like, the top 20 of his favorites, and they all won Vincent Shoes. there.
But is he going to use them?
Wonderful way to get your readers to work for you. I mean, he got all these interesting names.
Yeah. Well, number one name is Pony Boy. I don't know if he's going to use that. I mean,
I wish I'd named one.
But they were in no particular order, so I don't think that's his number one choice.
Oh, okay.
Just wanted to end on that one.
I like Wesley, Guy, Montag, Sagan.
Montag.
Come here. Odo. Oh, that's good. Isn't Odo like, oh, he's the king of France. That's what it was.
Oh, yeah. Ninth century.
Oh, yeah. Not, very good. Aramis. That's good. He's a three musketeer. Destry, Ash.
But, yeah, if... He mentioned on his blog recently, too, Cory Doctorow from Boing Boing had a baby recently and gave it, like, a, you know, some crazy
18
vibe.
Names. Cory basically used his child as a way to honor his, like, favorite people.
I assume that most of them are science fiction writers, but I didn't look into
it. Oh, they were all kinds of things. Yeah. Man, let me see if I can find it, because it was a really crazy name. Meanwhile, we want to thank you. Jeremiah McNichols.
Yeah, thank you.
Is from Prizy, prizy.blogspot.com. And you've added I just never noticed it before. The little dollar sign things for.
Oh, we've been adding features right and left.
I love that.
That's a relatively new way of setting up those categories. We have I think I mentioned last time, we now have a category for stuff that's ending today. So we got to move our calendar down, which had been a little confusing to some readers, and now they can click on that thing and see what...
Yeah, the calendar is kind of a separate thing, but I like it because you click the pile of money, and the bigger the pile of money, the bigger the prize.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's a nice thing.
Well, thank you.
We're still adding stuff. We've got... I mean, we're trying out a rating system now where readers can rate. It's by a company called Outbrain. They're doing a lot of private beta stuff right now, and it's basically a star system where you can rate, basically, in our case, you know, how good you think the giveaway is. And after you've rated enough stuff, you see other things, ratings based on similarities between what you liked and what other people liked. So they start matching you up with other readers and recommending things to you.
Neat.
Sounds complicated, but it's just you just click how many stars you think the giveaway is worth, and then it starts feeding information to you.
Cool.
So we're not sure. Some people have said, oh, maybe it's too cutthroat, you know, to ask people to say whether a giveaway is great or it sucks, but... we're just seeing how readers respond to it and trying it out for a couple weeks and trying to build in some more social tools into the blog.
Very cool.
All right. Thank you. We'll talk to you soon.
It was fun.
Thanks, right. Jeremiah. See ya.
Bye.
So you were ready for Cory Doctorow's baby?
Yes.
Cute baby. Here's the name. Poesy, Emmeline, Fibonacci, Nautilus, Taylor, Doctorow.
That's not its real name.
Yeah, her name. Poesy. Poesy is, you know, like poetry, kind of.
Uh-huh.
The Emmeline, he claims Emmeline is named after Emmeline Pankhurst, who was a radical in the 19th century who fought against, she was a feminist, early feminist. So that must be his wife's choice. And then,
because men can't be feminists, right?
No, not allowed. And then Fibonacci, you know, is
right,
mathematical.
The Fibonacci sequence.
Very good. Nautilus comes from Jules Verne. That was the name of the submarine in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
How do you know it didn't come from the machine, that, like the Stairmaster
machine?
Could have
been into that. Taylor is just like a friend, I guess. What do you think they'll call her, though? Poe?
I don't know. How old is she? Did he just have a baby?
Oh, yeah. She was born... February 4th. So she's born about a month. She's about a month old.
Interesting.
Yeah. In a pool.
Good way to
she's
be born.
Born in a pool. 9 pounds, 6 ounces. And congratulations to Cory and his wife, who I have never met. But Cory's a good friend, and so we're really happy for him.
Yeah.
And especially his using his baby as a billboard, basically. Uh-huh. But you, what am I talking about? You have Milo and Huck. Those are very clever names.
Yeah. I think so.
Someday you'll have to explain them.
Right. All righty. Well, I have nothing else to talk about.
Well, I have something to talk about. If you want to call us, we'd love to get a call from you. Now, it's not a free call, I'm sorry to say. It is a 707 number, but it doesn't cost very much. And, you know, the reason he was confused is for some reason Grand Central, which is this Google service that we use, had lost the greeting.
Mm.
But I think it's back now. So if you hear Megan's voice saying welcome, then you're in the right place. And if you don't, it's probably just... a Grand Central problem. It's 707-981-4602. Nobody's going to answer. It's just an answering machine that we use. But we would love to hear from you. It's nice to hear your voice.
Right.
707-981-4602.
Or email me at megan@twit.tv.
Yeah. And you can even send her a sound file.
You could.
Nobody's done that yet.
One person did it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll bring it in.
You could be the second person. No, I did. We already played it.
Oh, we already played it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. See, I'm just not paying attention.
Yeah. We've had so many episodes.
This is 35. Mm-hmm. That's so great.
Yeah.
It means we've almost been doing it a year.
Almost. Yeah.
Wow.
I think April or May it'll be
this,
a year.
This is, you're one of the newest podcasts. There are two newest podcasts. It's you and Cammie. Mm. And already a year.
Already.
Time flies. Now, did I tell you that we're going to start doing video of this show?
No. This show?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I should start wearing makeup.
When we move downstairs, we're going to set up a video studio, and all the shows will show video. You'll be able to watch us produce the shows live. Mm-hmm. But and we'll probably offer the video of the show at some point as well. And then, but since you're the one person who comes in, I think you should be a regular on Twit TV. You know, it's Twit TV. It's twitlive.tv.
Oh.
Yeah. There's nothing there yet.
Well, good thing I got that Sonicare toothbrush.
That's good. Brush your teeth before you come in.
Yeah.
Very important.
Is it smell-o-vision too?
No.
Okay.
You're fine.
All right.
You're fine. I want to thank the Halls for joining us. I have to say, it is kind of a relief to know that we're not alone. Parenting a Defiant Child, published by AMA.com, I guess.
Emacom.
American Management Association, Emacom. And you can visit them online at emacombooks.org or go to Amazon.
Yep, it's on Amazon.
That's not confusing. Emacom or Amazon.
All right, and we'll put the link to the show notes to that book, too.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Leo.
See you next time.
On Jumping Monkeys.